It's a beautiful, beautiful verse written by Peter, and we've been thinking of the trees with the children, and that's my theme for our little thought today, the trees. And you know, the tree, of course, is another word for the cross, and we could say there, bear our sins in his own body on the cross. But here in the King James, it's translated the tree. And I think that is very, 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 very good. Okay, I want to talk about a tree. This tree is not far from where we stay. And it's a very, very special tree. And you can see it's decorated. And this is a tree. I'm not getting this to work yet. It's a tree where a young lady died. I love the way you mourn in Scotland. You know, if there's a tragedy, an accident, you leave flowers by the accident spot in the road or by the railway bridge or wherever the accident happened. And this is a tree where there was a terrible accident just a couple of months ago. And a lovely young lady died. And you can see some things, I've listed them for you, that are on the tree just for a memorial for her that friends and family have put on the tree. I think that's lovely. You can see her dancing shoes tied to the tree. You can see a book of names that all her friends have signed. And that's on the tree as well. And then just for her birthday, just her 23rd birthday, just a couple of weeks ago, her mom tied this lovely yellow ribbon around the tree for her. You know, I don't know if it's the same in Paisley, but see where we are. Oh, some people are arriving. You're welcome. Come in. Nice to see you folks, and the children too. What was saying, yes, the tree, and it's very, very sad because this is where a terrible accident happened not so long ago, and a lovely young lady died. But I've been, this year alone, I have been to quite a number of funerals of young people, you know, taken before their time. Some it's been suicide, tragically. Some it's been overdose of drugs, very tragically. Some it's been incurable diseases, like the heart failure or cancer. And for some it's been terrible accidents, you know. And it is so... In our work in Motherwell, it's been nearly one a week, sometimes two, of young people. That's, you know, just mostly in their teens, actually. And it's very, very sad. And, you know, what happens when all these awful things, you know, people say, well, why does God allow this, you know? Why did God allow that awful accident that took this lovely young person? And here she is, and just so beautiful. And she loved to dance, as I said, and she was an entertainer, and she loved to do Disney characters. That's why I've put a wee heartbreaking Minnie Mouse on there. And why does God allow these things to happen? There was a book written some years ago by a Rabbi Kushner, a very, very famous, a bestseller, and it was called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he tackled the question because his 19-year-old son died of a terrible disease that made him at 19 look like 90 years old. He was so shriveled by the terrible disease. And Rabbi Kushner wrote the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, and he tried to answer the question, why does God allow these things to happen? And he came to the conclusion, he said, God is good, but sin has so upset his universe that although he longs to intervene and stop bad things happening, he's largely powerless to do so. That was the conclusion of the rabbi in that book. God is good, but he can't. He's lost control. That was his conclusion. But you know, when we look at our Bible, you know, we find that is definitely not true, because the Bible does not teach that anywhere at all. The Bible teaches us, we've only got to go to, say, Isaiah 40 or hundreds of places to see that God is all-powerful. There's nothing that he cannot do, you know. God can do anything. And that the nations are like the dust of the balance, you know, and men are like little grasshoppers, great and small, you know. And God is over all. He can do all things. You know, Tony Blair was on the news this morning apologizing for getting it wrong in Iraq, you know, and saying, well, you know, the intel we got was wrong. And he's saying, you know, we messed up, you know. But God, our God is not like that, you know. God never gets it wrong, you know. God always gets it right, always does the right thing. We may not always understand it, but God is good. The Bible teaches that. God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and he knows all things. But I love this. We writing by Sir John Templeton, who was a great philanthropist, gave away millions, and he wrote this, which is, it's really, really good. It says, for every problem we face, we'll find 10 blessings if we look for them. I thought that was beautiful. For every problem we face, we'll find 10 blessings if we look for them. And I thought, right, this is my motto for 2015, to look for the blessings. I'm quite good at it, you know, but I think I could improve. You know, looking for the good, looking for the blessings in everything. And of course, that little verse, you can click it on for me. This was, I remember not so long ago, I was in hospital because Trixie and I fostered two little girls, and one of them left an earring on the sideboard, and I just happened to lean on it, and the earring just pierced right into my hand and ended up with septicemia, and was a few days in hospital, in the law hospital, which is not there anymore, getting injections of penicillin for this. I remember reading this book. It's from Nemesis by Agatha Christie, and where Miss Marple remembers this little rhyme, and it's a beautiful, I've never forgotten it from that time in the hospital. Rose white youth, passionate and pale, a singing stream in a silent veil, a fairy princess in a prosy tale. There's nothing on earth so finely frail as rose white youth. And that, you know, they're so vulnerable, our young people, you know, and you've got many here that have gone through, and so vulnerable, you know, and seems to be harder for them today than even when we were young, you know. So much pressure from social media and everything like that comes crushing in, and we need to pray and give our lives for the young folks. Okay, next one, please. Right. The tree where a young lady died. I want to come now to the tree where a young man died. A young man died on this tree. The tree where a young man died, yeah. Of course, we know that it's Jesus we're going to talk about today. Let's have the next one. And we want to start with the three things again from the other tree, from the little tree of our little dancer. We want to start with Jesus' feet, of course. The feet of Jesus. Of course, he is Lord of the dance. He's Lord of all things. And I often go for my walks, my prayer walks around the Strathclyde Park, and I pray and I just walk with Jesus. You know, it's so lovely just to be able to walk with him day by day, and to think that he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and that he walked in this earth. And his beautiful feet, you know, the Bible says how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And Jesus came to bring peace, to bring news of the kingdom of God, to tell men and women that they could be saved, that they could be born again, that they could have their sins forgiven, that they could be made right for heaven. And the lovely feet of Jesus as he walked through Galilee and into Jerusalem, always doing good and blessing and healing and teaching the people and showing great love, whether it was the children or the women folks or the lepers or the blind or the outcasts. And he loved them all, whether they were the Roman soldiers or the Pharisees themselves. Jesus loved. He loved everyone, you know. And he brought blessing. Have the next one, as we were thinking there of the book of names that was on the tree of my little friend, you know. I was thinking of Jesus' book, the book of life, you know, and the Bible tells us about that book of life. And I want to tell you today that I'm going to heaven. And I'll tell you how I know that I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven because my name's there. My name's there. You know, when we went to Egypt, we're just back 2 weeks. When we went to Egypt, you know, and we went in to the resort, and we went up to the desk, the reception desk, and they had a big book, you know, and he said, "What is your name?" You know, and I told him, and he was checking down the names. "Oh, yes, there's your name. Give me the key, give me the room number, and a wee welcome pack." And he said, "You're welcome. Welcome to Egypt." You see, I was accepted because my name was there. And imagine if I had gone to Egypt with my name not going ahead of me, you know. We spend a lot of time on the First Choice website to make sure our name was going to be there. Imagine if you turned up in a foreign country at your hotel and your name wasn't there. They'd say it. Off you go, you know, wouldn't they? They'd say, "We don't know you." They'd say, "Off you go." You'd have had to go back to the airport and book another flight home, you know. You weren't accepted because your name wasn't there. And, you know, there's an awful lot of people, and my friends included, so many of them, and, you know, they're going to go out into eternity, and the book's going to be opened, and Revelation tells us, that's very, very, very solemn. It says, "Whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know? If your name's not there,